It is time now for a segment that I am so excited about. I'm going to bring you this segment every other week here on the Equine Forum. It is called Unsung Heroes, where I get a chance to shine the spotlight on so many of the hardworking individuals that make our sport a success but rarely find themselves in the spotlight. This segment presented by Claiborne Farm, it is Unsung Heroes.
Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to 8, 3, 2, 1. And for the 8th time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
Yeah, these are indeed the unsung heroes, and my thanks to Westwood One for the audio clips that you heard in that little open. And I have the privilege of welcoming in Wesley Purcell, who is the Claiborne Farm Broodmare Manager. He is our very first person to be recognized on this new Unsung Heroes segment. Wesley, first of all, good morning, my friend, and thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's obviously a privilege to do this, and I'm glad to be here talking with you.
Yeah, and so excited. You know, Walker, Bernie, all the great people at Claiborne, they stepped up with the sponsorship of this segment, and I thought it would be appropriate that we start with a Claiborne Farm representative. And there's, when you think about the Purcell name, it'd be difficult to find somebody that's more ingrained in the culture of Claiborne than you, my friend. You were raised in a farmhouse on the property, and that name Purcell is pretty much synonymous with Claiborne.
That's correct. My brother and I, we still currently work out here. My father worked here for over close to 40 years, started here in 1970. I've had numerous uncles, actually on both sides of the family work here. So, you know, Claiborne and the Purcells have go back several years, probably starting in the mid-60s with one of my first uncles making his debut out here.
You know, I read an article that had a piece about your uncle Don. Am I correct on that? He was your uncle, right, Don?
Yes, he was a yearling manager for several years.
Yep, and passed away in September, unfortunately. He will be missed. But he worked with Secretariat, Riva Ridge, Round Table, and even got to meet his favorite actor, John Wayne, at Claiborne.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting when we had the visitation. We saw those pictures, and it's amazing because you hear people talk about, obviously, John Wayne and these horses like Secretary and Riva Ridge and so forth. But for family members to be associated with them and have memorabilia pictures taken with them on both sides of the spectrum with horses and the people, it's just awesome.
What was it like growing up in a house on the property there at Claiborne?
It was kind of second to none. You know, you go out and you do your childhood thing, you know, you're playing basketball or whatever may be in the yard, but you've got these thoroughbreds, this, you know, front door, back door, left and right, beside you every day, and knowing that they're going to make an impact on a lot of people's lives as they, you know, these babies grow and mature and make it to the racetrack, and then the mares or the stallions, you know, come back for their secondary career. So, you know, growing up as a young child, you didn't really know the importance of that. But, you know, your dad worked here and your uncles, and you know there was a major significance, you know, taking place.
You know, every kid likes to have a big backyard to go out and play in. You had acres and acres and acres to go play in if you wanted to. What did your friends and maybe some of the other students that you were in school with growing up think about you living on a horse farm like that?
I remember I believe it was my first grade year, our field trip was to Claiborne Farm. So I'm 6-7 years old, and I'm so ecstatic when they announced that we're going to Claiborne Farm. You know, this is where I live. And I can recall telling my classmates, you know, as we rode the bus out here, you know, I was like the tour guide at 6 years of age, and we passed by my house, you know, something special. Say, hey, I live there. And all the kids thought that was very interesting. But to do that as a young child, and, you know, that's one thing that all people remember, you know, where you took your field trip at, you know, in kindergarten, first, second, third grade, and so forth. But to be able to say that I took a field trip to a place that I grew up and I lived on, it still holds a special place in my heart there.
As you were growing up and you started to get a little bit older, did you always think that you would find yourself working at Claiborne?
You know, from day one, you know, the passion of horses and that it's in your blood. You know, your father's coming home and he's talking about horses like Swell and Ruffian, and I mean, I can just sit here and name a list of horses, Easy Goer, and we can go down the line. But you know, I wanted to pursue a career in education, and that's what I end up doing. And I got a degree at the University of Kentucky, but as I was doing that, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, I've got this opportunity at Claiborne that's there. And so while I was away from it, you know that that's what you're supposed to be doing in this life.
So what was your first job on the farm?
When I was about 15 years of age, I had a weed eater in my hand. It wasn't the greatest experience, but that's something, you know, as a young kid, that you pay your dues. And I would just go around, you know, the pastures and the lanes of the farm, and we'd weed eat, and as a group of high school, you know, kids that would do that every year. And my second season out here, I did start working with the mares and the babies. My father was the foreman at that time, so he gave me a lot of great guidance and how to handle yourself around a thoroughbred, the presence needed, and the relationships that you would build with each individual horse. And that's where it really started, was my second season out here.
Well, being around so many of those great mares, I can imagine there have to be a couple that stand out to you for whatever reason. Which ones are always going to hold a special place in your heart, Wesley?
Well, going back early on, of course, we're talking late 80s. I mean, the name Personal Ensign is going to ring a bell for just about everybody listening. But to be around her, and, you know, then she goes on to produce two daughters to win Breeders' Cup races, too. And be three generations of Breeders' Cup winners. You know, she's going to rank up there, if not the, you know, the highest, but she's definitely up there amongst the top. But, you know, going down the line, there's a mare out here. She's by Mr. Prospector. She's pinching now, Praise. She's probably the most easygoing, it's kindest mare you would ever be around. I love her to death. She's 27 years of age. If I could have a relationship with her, like, or with the rest of them, like I do her, it'd be satisfactory for me.
Visiting with Wesley Purcell, who is the broodmare manager at Claiborne Farm. This is a brand new segment that I'll bring you every other week here on the Equine Forum Show, Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne. Wesley, this is the start of foaling season, too, so you're going to be starting to get a lot of babies arriving. Tell me about this time of year and how special it is to see these mares that you have worked with for many, many months and maybe years, and now you get to see their offspring too. Tell me about what that's like for you as the broodmare manager.
Yeah, we're kind of, you know, it's calm before the storm. We're sitting here getting into the second week of January. I think our first mare's due in a couple of days. This coming year, we have right at 178 mares due. But just every morning, you know, when we start our mornings, we have a night person that takes care of our foaling at night. He's been doing it for 40 years or so. So every morning, that's my first stop, you know, to check in with him and see who was born, you know, the previous night, and just get that first glimpse, you know, and knowing that they're going to be with me for the next basically year of their life. It's something pretty special, because you see them as you know, when they're an hour old or their first day of their life, and then just watch them grow up through the summertime. You see the athleticism, you see the quality, you know, right out of the gate. And you kind of always put those horses on your back burner saying, you know, that one may be special. And I can recall I wasn't working out here full-time, but I was working out here part-time and enough to be around them and old enough to realize when Pulpit was born, who ends up being one of the, you know, great stallions of our industry and this awesome homebred for Claiborne. I remember him as a young foal, and my brother and I talking about it, that this horse was special. You could just see it in the field, the way his demeanor was, the way he presented himself, and then he just carried it on to his race career and his stallion career. And that's the thing, is just seeing them grow and mature. And then when they hit that track and, you know, that gate opens and you're cheering for one of those horses like it's your children. They cross that finish line, they win a nice race, a grade one, or, you know, a classic race like the Derby with Orb winning in 2013. You know, we always kind of rewind at that point of where it started. And I think about him in the field and, you know, what he was doing as a young horse. And it's just always, you know, it's awesome to see that.
Wesley, what do you think you'd be doing if you weren't working as the broodmare manager at Claiborne right now?
Well, like I said earlier, I had a teaching degree, and I probably would have pursued that to see if that would have worked out or not. You know, every young kid could dream, but I would love to be a professional golfer, but working with horses, that doesn't work out too well. So if I had a dream for profession, that would be that.
Well, we heard the Tiger Woods soundbite in the open for this piece, and, you know, maybe it's appropriate then that's one thing that you'd like to do if you could do anything in life would be a professional golfer and emulate a guy like Tiger Woods. That would be pretty special too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, the work ethic that you see guys like that put in, you kind of do that also with the horse industry. You know, you pay attention to detail and you try to get their athletes, you know, you try to get them to the next stage of their life. And so some of that does go hand in hand.
Well, Wesley, listen, I really appreciate you taking the time and really appreciate all the hard work that you put in at Claiborne, and not just you, your entire family and the entire team at Claiborne and all the farms across the country, because this is a segment that will recognize so many people that are in your position that work behind the scenes at the racetracks and, you know, grooms, hot walkers, starting gate crew members. We're going to do that every other week, and really appreciate you taking the time here this morning and helping us get this segment off the ground. You are one of racing's unsung heroes.
Thank you for having me. I want to thank the Hancock family. They're second to none to work for. To thank my family is, you know, bringing me into this position. And thank you for having me on the show.